Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Amor Prohibido, the ultimate gay anthem by the one and only Selena, La Reina.
La Reina, and also happens to be our intro song.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a musical icon for us, and honestly, Amor Prohibido, it doesn't get gayer than that. Like, that's what our history is.
Forbidden queer love. A theme.
Exactly. So without further ado, listen to the Selena inspired tune. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's up?
Not much. Since I've been sick for the past week or so, I haven't been able to sing my lungs out like I normally do in my car, which makes me really bummed because today we have a special episode where I should be able to sing my lungs out.
Yeah, this is all about music today, and super, super special episode. We're doing queer music this episode, and like, really, really gay music. I'm really fucking excited for it.
Yeah, specifically, you know, how these like gay artists or gay themed songs have impacted us. And honestly, there's only one person that we can start with as a queer Latinx podcast, right?
Oh my god, there's only one person that's like a fucking legend to us. It's none other than Juanga, aka Juan Gabriel.
AKA the ultimate, like, mommy's boy. Like, everybody, like, people, I think it's been kind of, like, he's been looked at as, like, this iconic dude, not just because of his amazing music and his amazing voice, but his ability to make all of Mexico love him, despite being a very queer man.
And oh, my God. He's amazing for that.
Yeah, everybody's always been like, how, right? Like, or at least maybe it's just me. I've always been like, how did the whole world love him so much with him being just as queer as can be?
I mean, the best thing about him is that he's like been flamboyantly gay in very, very traditional Mexican spaces. Like, he went to Bellas Artes 2 times, and both times were like fucking sequins, like swished his hips both times. And he was like in full, like, bedazzled mariachi regalia, and I fucking stan anyone who goes into Bellas Artes and says, fuck you, I'm gonna be as gay as I want, and still being mariachi, like, fuck you, I love it. And for those of you that don't know about Juanga, he's like the most fucking influential Mexican artist of, I think, our entire generation. He performed his music. He wrote super fucking iconic songs like Amor Eterno, Querida, Hasta Que Te Conocí. It's all about heartbreak and loss and like his range and his voice. He's like fucking, I can't even explain what he means to like us.
And he has music, and his words specifically were so relatable to everyone. It's so telling of like the kind of poetry that he was able to write that everyone from like machismo men to like the softest mom ever that's probably like thinking about her ain't shit sons, you know how ain't shit sons are, like everyone was able to just like love his music. And I think because of someone like Juan Gabriel, we've been able to have a lot of these other artists that we're going to talk about today, like even people that aren't even, they're kind of like him where they're not openly queer, but they're still showing out. They're still like very much lo que se ve no se pregunta.
Yeah, he never really used, he didn't use male pronouns in his music. He always used female pronouns or none at all to describe his love and his songwriting. But I think that made him universal. Like we're talking about how he was able to subvert all of these gender norms by not, you know, making it pronoun specific to men. He just wrote about love, and that's universal. And the best part is that he was like your homophobic deals, like probably he put it on to cry or something, you know, like I really am into that. Like the most homophobic motherfuckers are listening to him and crying, like I'm into that.
Right. And it's curious because he's seen as kind of an old school artist now, and he's the guy that our parents loved, that our Theos loved, and now we're like moving on to this new generation. Like this is not the end of the conversation on Juan Gabriel. Probably you guys will hear him a little later, but to move it forward to present day, he inspired so many people, including, you know, like Ricky Martin. Ricky Martin was in the closet forever, and he was such a pop star, and he was out there, and then he came out, and it was a big deal, and it was a problem, and it was like, this is a post Juan Gabriel world. And so it's cool to see artists like now Bad Bunny, who talk about very sensitive subjects in an almost poetic way in certain songs. And then they feature Ricky Martin in it just to add a little cherry on top. So that's what we're going to play first for you guys.
This is called Carro by Bad Bunny, and it features the background vocaling stylings of Ricky Carro. Martin.
You made it sound like it was like it's car. It's Carro, like I'm expensive. Carro. And yeah, it's iconic. Let's just play it. We're doing a Radio Menea style episode, so let's do this. Solamente soy feliz. Solamente soy feliz. Solamente. Solamente soy feliz. So obviously during that part of the song, it's already pretty deep into the song. The song starts out really fucking hype and then goes into this really soft portion that is this part. And I think it was so beautiful to hear. I don't know, when I first heard it, I remember being really impacted by it. Do you remember when you first heard it?
Yeah, I remember like initially I understood that he was talking about, you know, self-worth and value, and the song itself is about loving yourself regardless of anyone else's ideas of you, and really finding self-love and self-acceptance in that. And then all of a sudden you hear like Ricky Martin in the background of like this high point of the song, and you're just like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, yeah, like I already felt like the song was a queer anthem just because it's about self-acceptance and like loving yourself regardless. And then you hear Ricky Martin, and then the meaning kind of actually changes a little bit and becomes a little bit more like an anthem. So I really stand this fucking song.
It's great. And I actually, while we're on that subject real quick, I would recommend going and listening to Radio Menea's entire episode on just Bad Bunny's album Por Siempre, because there's a lot more queer things to do with this artist that are worth talking about, which we're not going to spend the whole episode talking about him, but I felt like this was an appropriate way to start. But let's
move just on. Like go look up Bad Bunny and his nails, and you'll kind of understand what we're talking about.
There's so much that he's doing, and
so many gender
norms.
It's
also not much at the same time.
Yes, but let's yeah.
But I appreciate it. I think it's very, to me, it reminds me of Juan Gabriel, because he was doing stuff very, very much visually, and not so much like having to have a iPhone press conference about it, you know.
Yeah, Bad Bunny's nails are just fucking fleeky as fuck. They're gorgeous. I would never do that to mine, but like, shout out to him.
But yeah, so next on our queer music wavelength, I guess, was Los Tigres del Norte. So this is,
oh god,
this
yes,
is a band that I grew up with, because my family is from northern Mexico, and Los Tigres del Norte are like the most iconic to them. So I grew up hearing these guys, so when I heard that they had a song about a queer woman on it, like I was literally like, my jaw dropped. I was listening to it nonstop that day. I couldn't believe it. Like, this is like, you know, I mean, you know how it is, right? Like when it comes to like norteños, like all these songs are about like
love, heartbreak, loss.
It's also like kind of
or
like a hip hop
corridos.
Yeah, it's almost like hip hop for Latinos. Like Latinos, because it's, even though there is hip hop for Latinos already, but like they talk about hoes and getting laid and being a side hoe and a side chick and all this other, you know, like all this stuff that is usually like kind of fucked up, and yeah, like being gangster and shit. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's this girl. And actually, let me just I'll just play the clip of the song. this, it's pretty explicit, right? Like, it's not even hidden. So a complete opposite of Bad Bunny, where it's kind of in the context. In this song, it's like he's telling this story.
And it's not even like context. It's like
it's a little poetic, but it's, for the most part, it's very explicitly about a woman who loves women.
I think the coolest part about what Los Tigres does and what they stand for and what they've come to stand for in like the last maybe 15, 20 years is that they've really started to make music for immigrant people in the United States. And I feel like they're speaking directly to like our, you know, homophobic deals, our tias steeped really, really hardcore in, you know, toxic masculinity. I feel like they're talking directly to like a group of people that really need to hear this. And so, like, I feel like the lyrics really stand out because he's, you know, talking about live and let live. And, like, you know, I don't care if she buys her friend flowers, you know, as long as she's loving. And love is anything you want it to be. And I thought that was really, really fucking dope of Los Tigres to do because, you know, that this was before, like, gay marriage was legalized. This was in 2014. So this was, like, pretty monumental to do in the Latinx community, especially, you know, in Norteño. It's like a fucking tradition steeped in like narcocorridos and like machismo and like toxic bullshit, and to speak directly to that crowd, that's really fucking cool.
I mean, I can't help to differentiate norteñas and corridos. I think they're totally
different. they're different. I'm but, saying like
nevertheless that, like, it's pretty iconic because even if it wasn't speaking to the U.S. it's speaking to people in Mexico, and we're on different we're in different places, I would say, arguably, even though I think technically, like, some places in Mexico had gay marriage legalized before we did.
So yeah, that's only, like, the state. I think only, like, Estado de DF, like, where it's legalized.
Yeah,
I think
certain no parts, other parts
of Mexico. The rest of Mexico is extremely, extremely, extremely homophobic. Even Mexico City is homophobic in that sense.
I mean, all of society is homophobic, yeah.
No, but it's cool because, like, they're actually speaking to people that, like, need to hear this fucking shit, you know?
It was just, like, out of nowhere, and I thought it was just, like, such a great thing for them to... I don't know. I just... In my head, I'm, like, thinking about it in terms of, like, the people that I know. A lot of people in my family are musicians, and they wouldn't do this, you know what I mean? They just wouldn't do this, like... I was just really appreciative of what they did there, especially because it's, like, they're such a big band. Did I ever tell you? I have, like...
What?
I'm not related to anybody from Los Tigres del Norte, but someone from Los Tigres del Norte totally knocked up a distant family member of mine.
Shout out.
So that's fun. Yeah.
What the fuck? I didn't know, like, everyone in your family was, like, that connected to music, though. That's funny.
It's yeah, crazy. Yeah. There's a lot of musicians in my family. But anyways, moving on.
Digress.
let's talk a little bit more about some more historical people, some more even recent people in the music scene who are Latinos, like you know, I know that you have a lot to say about Chavela, for example.
Well, Chavela, I want her to be just the way I feel about Chavela is like both respect and like adoration, and also like I'm realistically seeing her as a full human being who is complex and fucked up. She came up around the time of like Mexican's golden era, and she sang fucking ballads to women, like, openly. And she wore, like, fucking men's suits all the time and got drunk with, like, the fucking legends in Mexico. So she was very much, like, kind of embodying both machista culture, yet somehow still subverting it. But that's where I kind of, like, feel kind of tricky. She's kind of a tricky subject for me because it's, like, I both love her but also kind of hate that she still embodied all the things that would, you know, put all this bullshit on her, you know, this machista society that she kind of adopted her back. But then, you know, you can't treat women. There was a lot of like a lot of controversy in the way she treated women, and so that's why I'm kind of like I kind of found this out while I was researching her. There's a documentary on her. You can just kind of look up Chavela and you'll be able to find it and get more information on it. But there is a lot of stuff there that I'm kind of like, I don't know if I really... She is an icon. She's a cabrona, but she also embodied a lot of violence to women, too. So I'm not really...
I mean, that's... Yeah. Sure. You have to think about the era that she's from, too, and, like, the fact that she...
How she got by and survived.
And she also, like, had issues with alcoholism, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yeah. She was an alcoholic her entire life. And, I mean, it probably helped her get through a lot of her own societal anxieties and her problems with her family not accepting her. She was completely cut off from her family in Costa Rica. She came to Mexico City to try to make it. Coolest thing about her is that she apparently had a fling with Frida Kahlo. Shout out her.
That is definitely a cool thing about her. I think what I kind of want to bring up a little bit more, if you don't mind, instead of the other stuff, like, what about her impact musically?
I mean, her impact musically, she wasn't really revered up until, like, maybe the 2000s, the 1990s, late 90s, when the director, a Spanish director, actually found her and put her music front and center in his movies. I'm trying to remember his name right now, because I didn't write his name down because he's a man. But she got put on this platform later in life, and she was already kind of losing her voice. Her impact didn't really hit till then, because early on she was just kind of like in bars getting drunk, singing to women, stealing everybody's wives, which is lit, but also, you know, problematic. But her impact now is just kind of like, she's kind of forgotten. She's kind of overlooked, unless you're like a queer Mexican woman. You've looked her up, or you've been felt her presence in that world, but other than that, she's been pretty much ignored by like people who aren't music nerds.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, it's pretty wild. She's a part of our history. I think she's also worth looking up if you guys are interested. We're not gonna play
an icon to me, but yeah,
we're not gonna play anything of hers or of the next person, the next group that we want to shout out, but I think that they're worth talking about. One of our current favorites right now is a Dallas local band called Luna Luna.
Oh my god, they're fucking amazing. Not only they're from Oak Cliff, their drummer is a queer person, and shout out to representation. Representation really fucking matters. Latinx band from Dallas. They have
check out their video.
Yeah, just look up a video. It's, what is it, 80s
tune? 80s tune. It has like a queer themed video basically to it, and it's my favorite song for the most part. So definitely check out 80s tune by Luna Luna on the YouTube. We'll try to link it. Yeah, I just wanted to give them a shout out, quite honestly.
They have an EP too. I think it's called like For You. It's amazing. Like all their music is so good.
They have so much good music.
That new song Running, so good.
Yeah. Just look them up on Spotify, of course.
All right. Anyways, moving out of like our Latinx, I guess we're going to head back into like maybe the history of like American queer people. Not that American.
And not that far back in the history either.
Not that far back.
But we have a couple of other quick hits that you want to cover, right?
Yeah, I wanted to shine a light on some just like non-Latinx folks a little bit. I guess I don't know how far back I want to start with it. Do we doing Tegan and Sarah, or doing Tracy Chapman?
Both.
Perfect, perfect. So I'm sure y'all have heard of Tegan and Sarah. They've been around literally since 1994. No, 97, excuse me. So they've been making music for 22 years. I love them. I have a very, very fun, very, like, deeply, like, rooted fondness for both Tegan and Sarah, because they were actively refusing to be femme when they started out, and they kept that trend going their entire career. I'm pretty sure people told them to wear dresses and grow their hair out, and so they did the complete opposite. They spent 22 years wearing flannel and having extremely short hair. even though their music wasn't exactly, I would say it was actually universal, is their look that made them kind of stand out, kind of didn't really make them fit in into regular mainstream pop. So I really stan them. They've been doing this for 22 years. The Con is one of the best albums they've ever made. And I've been to like 4 Tegan and Sarah concerts, dude. They're so iconic to me. Like, I can't even explain what it meant to like see Tegan and Sarah, these like queer non-femme twins, like performing music they wrote and shit from like 2005 on up. I was just like this little gaby, you know. They were the only, like, they were one of the few things I had. So I didn't have Hayley Kiyoko back then.
I didn't know that Tegan and Sarah were gay for a long time. It's been a bit of a trend for me where I'm just like, oh, I really like this song, and then somebody's like, oh yes, Tegan and Sarah, they're gay. I'm like, oh, it's like two gay women who like met each other and they perform. Like, no, they're twins and they're both gay. And I was like, huh? So after a while, it became like a gay gauge where like if a woman told me like, oh, I listen to Tegan Sarah, and I'm like, oh, she's gay. Okay, cool. Gay. Great. Cool. Good to know.
So actually, they had, I met a lot. I think I heard about Tegan and Sarah through straight girls.
Yeah. In high school. So I heard about it through straight men. So that's why I was like, I didn't really suspect them being gay. So, but yeah, they have really great music. They're definitely people we have to bring up, even though we're not going to play their music, but definitely like important.
I would say to just check out a music video called Closer. It came out like a minute ago. It's fucking great, and it's very queer, and it's very positive, and it's very happy. Like, queer people get happy music, lit. They're not always singing about their heartbreak and how women broke their heart or how they broke another woman's heart. Sometimes they're just happy.
Fun. So the next song we're actually gonna play for you, or the next artist.
Yeah, next we have Tracy Chapman. Song's called Fast Car. It actually came out in 1988. And one of the coolest things about this is that it's written and sung by a queer black woman who is definitely super butch. And as a little kid, seeing her with her guitar fucking sing this song, and you just fucking knew she was gay. You knew she was singing about a woman. And I mean, I'm just gonna let you listen to it. You're gonna fucking feel what we feel.
I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store, managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far, just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living.
So I really fucking love this song because there's like certain lyrics to this song where she talks about kind of like just San Junipering it, you know, like getting in a fucking car and driving off with your like loved one and just escaping the reality that you live in. And I feel like a lot of queer people, especially like maybe 1988 and the 90s, could agree that like there's always going to be, you know, this sense of like, we can't be ourselves here. We have to run away in this car. You know, like there's a specific lyric in the song. It's called, let's get out of here. Let's finally see what it means to be living. And like when you're both queer and you're fucking poor, those two things really intersect. It kind of feels like you can get stuck in whatever like homophobic town you're in, or even the family and the household that you're in. Sometimes you just really need to escape that. And sometimes you meet someone and you feel like maybe you're going to be able to be free now. Like, at least you can run away with someone and begin to experience what life is, because, you know, you're queer, you're staying at home. Like, yeah, I don't know. There's just so many aspects to, like, being queer and poor that I find so relatable about this song and about Tracy Chapman. So I fucking love this song. And, you know, did you know she fucking dated Alice Walker? She wrote The Color Purple.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fucking wild to me. I was just like, wait, what? She dated Alice Walker? That is so lit.
That is great. I didn't know that.
Super cool to me. Yeah. And she won like 3 Grammys. I didn't know that either.
Holy fuck, 3 Grammys? A queer black woman?
A queer black woman won 3 Grammys. Iconic. I mean, she wasn't explicitly using any kind of like female pronouns, but
so she wasn't out?
She wasn't in. So yeah, fucking, I mean, love it. Did you ever listen to a song like growing up or anything?
I didn't hear this song growing up. No, I actually ended up hearing it not from Tracy Chapman. Somebody did like a mix of it, and I heard that a while back from some DJ of some sort. I don't remember which one, but I love the song. It's a good song.
I don't know. I heard it like really, really little, so it kind of like impacted me, my little queer heart, when I saw her actually sing. I was like, oh, who's this butch queer woman? That's an option? I can do that? Like, so it felt good.
But then you found out that singing wasn't really your forte.
I mean, don't tell that to me in the shower when I'm singing Celine Dion.
I won't. I'll just say it like, you know,
to my face, yeah, when I'm in the car next to you. Exactly. Yeah, I understand. I know where my strengths lie, and it's definitely not in singing. but yeah, love Tracy Chapman.
So, God. Real quick, uh-huh. There's a few people we can talk about that we have listed here. There's St. Vincent, another Dallas local.
Yeah, shout out to St. Vincent just for being like, I don't know if she's like completely visibly queer. I mean, she's openly dated like fucking models. She's dated Cara Delevingne, she's dated Keira Brownstein. I mean, you know, she's an amazing musician, and she's queer. And other than that, yeah, and she's from Dallas. There's not a whole lot more other than her music is amazing, and she's amazing, and we love her. I love me some St. Vincent.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan, but I will say I saw her at the Yoko Ono tribute show a couple of months ago, maybe like a month ago, and she did this reading of like Yoko Ono reading juxtaposed with like what somebody imagined would be Yoko Ono's Grindr posts, and it was really, really fucking funny, like so funny. And I appreciated that of her, that she was, you know, actually really, really funny. And she didn't sing that night, but I was stoked on it.
Annie Clark is amazing. So anything she does, I stan. Shout out Annie Clark. Like, just breathe or talk or something. I'm into it. Like, love her. But moving on to, like, more people. The next person I do want to talk about is a queer indigenous woman making fucking like indie rock alternative music. Her name is Black Belt Eagle Scout, and there's a song, it's explicitly called Soft Stud, and I fucking love it. I love her. If you can, try to look up that music video where she's openly wearing like a queer indigenous woman like t-shirt while she sings about a soft stud. Like, seen, heard, I feel represented. It's so fucking dope to me, and her music is amazing. Like, if you just want to like read a book, if you just want to be in your feelings for an afternoon, Black Belt Eagle Scout is my shit. And I don't know, have you heard it yet? I know I sent it to you.
I haven't had the time, to be honest.
Yeah, no worries. I feel you. And then another person I did want to talk about is Brockhampton, who I fucking love. He's from Corpus Christi, Texas, so I fucking stan another gay Texan. He is Kevin Abstract. He's the leader of Brockhampton. I think he's the only openly queer member of that band, and they famously call themselves a boy band, and they make, like, hip-hop. I fucking love it. He had, like, little straight boys out here standing to wear, like, shirts that said gay on them. So I'm really into anyone that's fucking with, like, straight boy culture. And he's saying, fuck you, you're going to make it gay as possible. And I'm really into that. He's an interesting little, like, polarizing figure. And, like, I don't even know what kind of music he's doing right now. Alternative. I'm into it.
That's cool. There's also another artist that's actually openly queer that was at Coachella this year. Serpent with Feet.
Yes.
Who I missed it, the show, but I hear he's an extremely amazing performer. And I will say that I believe the song is called Bless Your Heart is totally worth listening to. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. So I would definitely check it out. So Serpent with Feet, like no spaces, I believe.
He did like a live, he like performed live on Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel with Brockhampton. So that's how I heard of him. So I heard of Serpent with Feet. So he's fucking dope.
Oh, that's cool. I heard about it from a former coworker.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do have more music for you guys. First, we're going to do...
So we have a little like recommendation. Since you guys fuck with us, you listen to us, you should also check out Tamarindo Podcast. It's another Latinx podcast. The hosts discuss like politics, pop culture, and how to balance all that shit. And con calma.
Yeah, Tamarindo is hosted by Brenda Gonzalez and Anna Sheila, and it features like really good discussions on identity, race, gender representation, and now wellness. They're getting into a lot of that.
Oh, that's fucking dope. Like, I know Brenda's the original co-host and the co-creator. And with the addition of Anna Sheila, Tamarindo Podcast also includes like conversations on being intentional with how we live our lives and how the impact we want to have on the world. And I know we can all fucking use that shit. We all need that shit.
Yeah, so they're on like all your favorite podcast applications. So just go and subscribe to them. And you can also find them on tamarindopodcast.com.
Woo! Shout out Tamarindo.
All right, back to some musica.
Hey.
All right, so We're gonna get into some of the really good shit that we want to talk about today. I'm actually pretty stoked on this, and we're gonna start on the one and only iconic
Frank Ocean. Fucking, oh my god, where do I start with fucking Frank Ocean? Okay, so there's something about an artist who both rejects and accepts his like own sexuality all in the open, you know. Frank Ocean has been openly queer since about 2012, since his first album, Channel Orange, dropped. He was using male pronouns in Forrest Gump. He had another song called Bad Religion where he was referencing being in love with a man and what that meant to his religion, what that meant to his consciousness. It's fucking beautiful. And another thing that he did do post Channel Orange was release this open letter. He was directly referencing the male pronouns he had used. There were whispers in the, you know, music industry and, like, people, period, were curious about what he meant by that. It's a really beautiful open letter. I recommend listening to it. It's on Dissect Podcast. This is not, like, a... But yes, it is. Go listen to it when you get the chance, or go read it. He put it on Tumblr, but Dissect had an audio version of it read, and it's very beautiful. I think it's, like, season 3, episode 2. And it's beautiful. And honestly, I wanted to bring Frank Ocean today because I wanted to talk about Forrest Gump.
Why don't we play a little bit of it now?
Yeah, let's play a little bit of it now, and then you guys can get a little idea of what I mean by he's openly using male pronouns. You run my mind, boy. Running on my mind, boy. Forrest Gump, I know you're Forrest. I know you wouldn't hurt a beetle, but you're so buff and so strong. I'm nervous for us. Yeah, so I think, like, one of the better things about this entire album was that from beginning to end, you see the growth of Frank Ocean in this album, and Frank Ocean, I mean, in Forrest Gump, is the culmination of his own self-acceptance. Whereas he was having like a emotional breakdown during Bad Religion, or he was questioning his sexual preference in Pink Matter, I think by the time he gets to Forrest Gump, he's openly relishing in his feelings for another man. And that's pretty fucking complex and strange in 2012 in R&B and hip hop. Like, he openly would get in confrontations with, you know, Chris Brown. And I'm sure some of that had to be steeped in the homophobia against Frank Ocean himself. So for him to openly be talking about a man's, like, muscles, you're so strong, you're so buff, but you wouldn't hurt anyone, you know, that concept of, like, both being masculine but being soft. And I felt like he really zeroed in on that in Forrest Gump, and he's openly using these pronouns. He has not really specified if he is just gay or bisexual or whatever, and I think that's even more beautiful and more interesting about Frank Ocean. I honestly think that the way he came out, he simply just wrote a letter stating he was in love with a man, and that was his first love, and he kind of left it at that. And I thought basing your coming out story and just, like, love is what, you know, being queer is just, it's about love. It's not necessarily about, you know, these body parts. It's not necessarily about who you have sex with. It's about who you love and who you're able to make intimate emotional connections with. And that's really super universal and superhuman. And the fact that Frank Ocean continues to, like, not say what his preference is. And if you go to his newest album, Blonde, you can even hear, I think, Good Guy, where he references going to a gay bar with another man on a first date. And I think it's just fucking dope, everything he does, because I know it's about men. And sometimes it's relatable to literally anyone, but you know he's talking about men. And that somehow makes it both more interesting for queer people, and just, I feel seen. So I just really, really love Frank Ocean, and Forrest Gump is a fucking masterpiece to me.
I love Frank, especially just in his presence in the media, and where he has kind of like this one guy vibe where everyone, straight men, women, and all the queers alike, see him in such a great light, and they're all waiting for him, and they all just stan his music to no end. And I think it's great to have icons like that.
Yeah, it's just about his art, you know. It's not if you want to zero in on his sexuality, great, but it's just his amazing artistry that you really zero in on, and how he's made emotion just, I don't know, it's universal, and he's made it his music universal for everyone. If you don't believe that, then you're probably just homophobic, so like people out here wilding
fingers or anything, but
yeah, they wilding out here.
Yeah, another amazing Black queer artist that really, really took me by storm as a pop queen was Janelle Monáe with her latest album, Dirty Computer. I had the absolute pleasure of seeing her just about a week ago or something like that.
So jealous. That's so amazing.
And she just was having all the fun up there, and she was slapping women's asses with consent. It was amazing. And like the fact that all of Dirty Computer is kind of referencing how, you know, supposedly people who are queer, you know, we're dirty computers, we're not like clean, we're not we have a little bit of a discrepancy in us, and then finding that that's beautiful, and finding beauty in her femininity too, which is why I chose to play Pink, which is a song literally about vaginas. So
so gay.
Let's have a quick listen.
Pink like the inside of your baby. Or I'm just pink. Pink like the walls and the doors.
Deep inside. Or I'm just pink.
So yeah, I mean, she's pretty much unapologetically talking about being proud of not only having a vagina, but, you know, being interested in women and finding it beautiful herself, like in other people. And if you haven't already, there's like a full like video album of sorts called Dirty Computer on YouTube. It's like 40
emotion
minutes.
Video.
yeah, it's great. It's so beautiful. Tessa Thompson's all throughout it, so if that doesn't convince you, I don't know what will.
But, no, but like this video specifically, though, do you remember this portion of that movie?
So she actually on stage wore the same thing that she wore in the video, which was the pants with there's like these really fluffy, like different pink hues of like whatever, they're like
vagina, know, pants. Yeah,
yeah. it looks like a vagina, and that's what it's supposed to be. So she wore those on stage, and she wore those in the video, and literally at one point, like Tessa Thompson like goes through them, and there's just a lot there, and it's beautiful. And like the song is literally called Pink, like it's not like a secret, right? It's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about with some of the other people that we've talked about today, where she's very explicitly and very openly and very happy to be who she is. And it takes a lot to be that. So I love her, and I love her new amazing pop album, Dirty Computer. So I recommend listening to her. I think she's wonderful, and I think she's an icon. And she's an amazing actress, for God's sake. Isn't she, like, Oscar-nominated?
Hidden Figures, Moonlight. Like, yeah, she's amazing. She's an Ugly Dolls now as a voice actor.
I think she was actually in some of it. I thought. Oh, wait, no, never mind.
She's a voice.
I was thinking of that other movie, the one with Steve Carell.
Oh no!
There's one with Steve Carell. Oh yes, I do. Yeah, like a soldier, yeah. And it's animated in portions of it, but then it's not in others.
That's a different one. I recommend watching the video for Pink, especially the emotion video version of it. It's like in the middle of it, it's actually a little different from the video that's like 4 minutes long. In it, she's openly like holding Tessa Thompson's face in her like hands, and she's also at the same time like declaring her undying love to her on a pink bed while they roll around and like cuddle. It's like explicitly very queer, and she's all like, I don't want to hide my love, I just want to like wake up in the morning and like kiss you on the nose. And she's like openly singing this to like Tessa Thompson on a pink bed. Like, it's the gayest thing I've ever seen, and it's beautiful. And y'all should do yourselves a favor. Like, that's my favorite part of that whole fucking thing, is because it's just so explicitly queer and like so romantic and like loving. It's beautiful.
She's an icon. So yeah, Let's move on to a few more just quick hits that we're not gonna play for you, but we're gonna talk about them.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up Kehlani. She had an amazing year, and she's been having an amazing year this year in 2019, but very specifically in 2017, she had a song called Honey, where she was, again, openly singing to another woman, a queer woman. The video is really, really beautiful. It's, like, her and another, like, queer, like, non-femme, like, woman, and it's really fucking dope. She's openly stating, you know, she's like, I like my women like I like my honey. I think that's fucking dope. Like, I think there need to be more, like, love songs of for women by women. I think that's fucking dope, and for Kehlani to openly do that in 2017 and then follow that by, like, making out with Demi Lovato while Demi Lovato was on tour on a bed, was giving the gays everything we ever fucking could have asked for. And the fact that it was Demi Lovato too, who is also an openly queer, like, woman.
Kind of openly queer, yeah.
I don't feel like she's hiding it, but yeah, she's not, like, exactly.
She's not like Janelle Monáe about it.
No, she's not wearing pussy pants and having Tessa Thompson come out of those pussy pants. But she is making out with Kehlani on stage in front of her tour. Wow, that took so much effort for me to say. But shout out to that. Like, that gave all the gays what they wanted. So, and I hope Demi Lovato gets better. I know she's going through, like, treatment or something. So I hope she feels better and is doing better.
I'm a huge Demi Lovato stan. Once again, like, I'm a pop queen, and I love Kehlani now too, because specifically because of her, the features that I've heard her on. But watching her with Demi Lovato was a treat. Kehlani in general she's been very publicly learning a lot of things, and she's been open about her mental health, because she had, like, you know, that's kind of, yeah, one of the big things that put her name out in the media at one point. But no. I admire her. I think she's great, and she's got one of the best voices around. Totally underrated.
Ugh, dude. And I mean, I think going from Kehlani to Kehlani's features, which we definitely got to talk about, because that's going to lead into a huge topic that I want to hear from you about. Kehlani also featured in the very the fucking lesbian Jesus herself, Hailey Kiyoko's music video, which I do want to hear about Hailey Kiyoko from you.
So Hailey Kiyoko, the Swiss woman. So, like, obviously she, like, started out on, like, freaking Disney doing, like, little bits, like, Lemon Mouth or something like that. And she was on, like, Wizards of Waverly Place. She did that quick stint where everybody thought that Selena Gomez was going to go gay on it, and she didn't. But she has always been, like, a singer and an artist, and she came out later on with this iconic video called and song called Girls Like Girls, and she herself directed it. This was actually one of her first big videos that she did, so she wasn't in it, but she did direct it and write it, I believe, and she sang the song, which is, like, so, like, it's just, most people wouldn't write this kind of song today, like, where it's so explicitly, like, girls like girls, like, you know, get over it, like, they wouldn't do that. But considering when it came out and, like, what it meant to be so explicit, I think it was perfect, and I think it's proof how iconic it is. The fact that it's, like, so close to, like, 100 million listens, I think, or something like that.
It is at 100 million listens,
or not listens, but views on YouTube.
Yeah,
which is
105,
which is wild. Like, that's a lot. That's a fucking lot for basically a short film about two queer women. And it's all just kind of based on, like, a fantasy she has of stealing some dude's girl. And now she's, like, lesbian Jesus. Everybody, like, kind of talks about her in that way. She's lesbian Jesus. They even reference her on, like, freaking One Day at a Time. And this video, if you haven't seen it, you must, because it's just, it's so cute. It's just really adorable, and it's completely relatable, and the actresses were actually really good, which is surprising. And it's basically like what it's like to be a young girl in love that doesn't really quite have it figured out. I specifically related a lot to it. That was a lot of how my youth went as a queer woman.
Oh fuck.
And it was complicated, but it was also like, that's what it, you know, that's what youth is sometimes like. It's a little crazy, but it's also kind of electric. So I love her, and I love all her music videos she does. She tries to be inclusive, and she tries to be creative, because she's also been in film, and she's been an actor for a while. So all her films have like a specific theme to it, and she tries to do cool stuff and choreography and all this other stuff. I think it's great. Like, it's honestly, like, whenever I used to be in the car listening to music, and I would be like, you know what everybody does, like, picture themselves in a music video to it. Her music videos are like kind of like what those fantasies are. So to me, I love watching her music videos for that reason, because it's like, this is the kind of fantasy that I would imagine my bitch as in. And I love it. And I think it's so iconic that this like brown Asian woman is like spearheading like this lesbian movement for specifically for young women. And so I can't even tell you how happy I am that she's someone that is a big name and that doesn't get a lot of hate like you would think, because she's just such a lovely person.
Yeah, like, I don't listen to a lot of her music, but like, you can't deny like the fucking lane she's created for her fucking self, you know? Like, she put out Girls Like Girls in 2015, and I say since then she's put out like maybe 5, 6, 7 more music videos, and they're all centered around women loving other women and romantic ties between women. And that's fucking crazy to see. Like, that wasn't like a thing that was mainstream. There was no lesbian Jesus before her. Before 2015, there was just like Tegan and Sarah talking about women, but like, here comes Hayley Kiyoko's gay ass, and she's like, no, I'm gonna openly like swoon and like charm, and like, you're gonna see women all over me. And it's fucking dope as fuck. Like, I don't even listen to her music, I just know all of her music videos, because come on, I'm gay. Like,
so she's so like, trans woman in one of them too. Like, so there's a video that isn't centered on women loving women. It's just like, there's a trans woman and a kid that helps her out, and it's kind of cute. I think it was all of her music is very, her music videos I should say, are like escapism and kind of just getting, you know, like, it's very fantasy, and I like it in a good way, because it's a realistic kind of fantasy.
Can you even like imagine like if you had this when like the kids have this now? Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, that's like so cool and so healthy, and I hope they're like come out less fucked up than we do.
You know, it's nice that there's a few role models. I think she's to me the most important one, and she's, like I said, she's an Asian American woman who like is so iconic to me.
But she's, there are not other white ones. She's not white.
She's not. but like you said, the kids have her, and the kids also do have a couple of other kids who are white, but they're also, you know, openly talking about being queer in their music and in the public eye and in their music videos. And that's King Princess, who is fucking with gender a little bit and very openly just fucking women and dating, I think it was Amanda
Steinberg.
And then Troye Sivan, who is, yeah, I feel like he couldn't pretend to be straight if he wanted to, if I'm being honest, but not in a bad way. I think he's a beautiful, beautiful boy, and he is
Bloom
also,
was amazing.
Yeah, he's got a voice. They both have wonderful voices, and they have beautiful things to say, and they're unashamed. And these are like three people that kids have to look at these days, and they're young and they're doing it, and this is a new thing, right? Like, people usually have to wait a long time before they can do things like this, like Frank Ocean and Janelle. But these are kids, and they are safe, and they feel safe enough to do this. And I think it's great.
They're leading the way. And hopefully that leads to way more people coming out and making music that, I mean, yes, use pronouns, but also don't if you don't want to. I don't give a fuck. Either way, like, I'm going to be happy as long as they live their truth and they're singing. Their music is good, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, especially in the pop world, I'm stoked on it. I love pop music, and if it's queer too, I'm going to be all over it.
I know. I am the complete opposite. I'm like, please don't give me pop music. I'm like, anything but pop, but it's fine, because I end up listening to it and loving it anyways, so that's where we are with fucking pop music. There are a lot of people that we didn't mention, because we don't, honestly, I don't listen to a lot of other queer musicians, artists. They do exist. We do honor them. We will honor them at some point. Maybe not on an episode, maybe just through a post on Instagram, but, we definitely can't cover all of them. These have just been the most influential ones to us. And so forgive us if we've forgotten someone.
Yeah, and I mean, without further ado, we're going to end this off with our beautiful, amazing icon, Juan Gabriel. Before we do want to let you guys know where you can find us on the internet.
Yeah, you can find us at CYC Podcast, right? Yes?
They can't see you pointing at me. Yes, you can find us at CYC Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes,
wherever you're listening to us right now.
Yes, wherever you listen to us, obviously. We have a website. We also have a Patreon. Yes, because this whole episode is due and was created and produced by one of our lovely, lovely Patreon supporters. Shout out, Denzel. We love you. Thank you for this idea. And y'all can also join Patreon and start giving us ideas. You can give us some funds every month and boss us around, and that's lit. We'll listen to you. and you can find that. Where can you find us that Patreon at, Maite?
So that's patreon.com/CYC podcast. You can probably also just search Cabronas y Chingonas on there, or we'll link it on our website, which is cabronasychingonas.com.
See. And you can find me at Fried Papita on Twitter.
I'm at MYT Panda on Twitter and Instagram. And I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Definitely feel free to reach out and talk to us about it, especially if you're on Patreon, because, you know, you get priority.
Yes, let us know about your favorite like queer songs, and we got you. We'll see what's up. Let us know. No te miento, fui feliz, aunque con